If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Astonishing Legends Network.
The following is intended for bizarre audiences only. Welcome to the Midnight Library.
Madam, I cannot believe how many of my distant relatives you've been able to coax into visiting for my birthday.
Well, birthdays that mark decades are important to everyone, darling. Besides, I knew they hardly ever get cake.
I also can't believe you've lured them with buttercream frosting.
it's a meat cake, darling. With meat frosting.
Brilliant. What a clever witch.
Thank you so much, Mr. Darling. Welcome. Greetings, everyone. Just kick the balloons out of your way, lovelies. It's all right if a few pop. We've got hundreds more.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yes, Miss Jordan.
Blah, blah, yes. Blah, 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 blah.
It is Mr. Darling's birthday. Yes.
Blah, 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 blah,
I'm sorry.
Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, no. No, I would never disclose his actual factual age. Only the DMV knows for sure. If you work there, you leave him alone, or I'll make note of your birthday and make sure something special happens to you. Into the reading room to find a cozy spot, please, everyone. We're going to have a splendid evening. Oh, it's all right. It's all right, everyone. The wolf pups just popped one of the bigger balloons. The large ones are particularly volatile since Irma was permitted to inflate them. Maybe don't breathe that in. Please try to be relaxed as you peruse the hospitality tray and return to your favorite spots with your yummy treats. Welcome to the Midnight Library, my dear guests. I am your happy host, Miranda Merrick. Speaking of happy, we, all of us here in the Midnight Library, and I'm sure you are thrilled to wish our favorite gentleman, Mr. John Kanan Fenrir Darling, a happy birthday!
Thank you, everyone!
Yes. We don't mark Mr. Darling's birthday all that often, every 7 years or so. But this one is a special occasion, which is why the hospitality tray has an extra tier tonight. And since it is the trend nowadays to have a central theme around birthdays, and Mr. Darling seems to have a special bond with nature, and wolves, and the wolf pups in particular, the tray contains several treats that are likened to, or would be rather appreciated by, wolves and wolfish types. You're certainly encouraged to try these treats yourself, dear guest. But Don't worry if you can't bring yourself to, as we have other guests currently in-house who will wildly wolf down all of these morsels and more. So that's convenient. In honor of our fine gent, Mr. Darling, tonight's reading is a treat in itself. Tonight, I thought we would meet, safely and from a good distance, the Rougarou, and learn a bit about this mysterious creature and its supernatural abilities. Did you know, my lovelies, that it was once truly thought and believed by many in the past, and by some today, that if you were to travel, camp, hike, or wander off and explore or poke around being nosy in the marshes and swamplands of Louisiana, especially after dusk, that you could be veritably assured to meet the Rougarou, a chancy and perilous creature with the body of a strong man and the head of a wolf or a wild dog. And that just might be the end of you. But these territorial and testy beings are said to be something much more complicated than merely hungry, you see. These lycanthropic, wolf-headed, or cynocephalic dog-headed creatures are also scrutinizingly judgmental. More on this curious trait in a bit. In earlier times, in this part of the dreamy South, it wasn't uncommon at all for the folks at home to spend their warm evenings on their rustic front porches, surrounded by apple barrels and hunting dogs, just sitting on their old wooden swings or creaking old rocking chairs, just chatting and listening to nature, and watching their children and their neighbors' children playing. While the adults rambled on about crops and births and deaths, the children chased each other about and played games like hide-and-go-seek. And as the sun began splaying the last of its ruby-tinted rays through the cypress trees, and its kind glow was just fading upon the twinkling surface of the marshes in the distance, one keen-eyed, caring elder would thoughtfully warn the children, calling out,
"Yo, get your dusty hides in the house for the Rougarou eat ya!"
causing the frolicking children to scatter and dash inside in a frenzied panic, thus bringing the soft, southbound bucolic evening to a gentle close. The elusive creature, the Rougarou, also charmingly referred to by some as the Cajun werewolf, has long and deep cultural roots from another land entirely. France. How romantic. Centuries ago, a terrorizing beast haunted and hunted humans all across medieval France, and in a very real way, too. The French people who lived to tell the tale named it the Loup Garou. Loup from lupine, meaning wolf, and garou being a person who could transform. And long before the famous witch trials got into full swing in Europe and America, thousands of people were accused, tried, and sometimes executed for being werewolves. And I guess I should admit, early on, right alongside of them, there were also witches. The two powerful beings have always had an unbreakable bond, it seems. Go figure, right, Mr. Darling?
Damn skippy, madam.
There were very early charges against people believed to be changing into wolves in order to mangle both men and children as early as the 1400s. These grisly happenings, as well as people going missing, livestock being massacred, and even other wildlife being found butchered in disturbingly violent fashion, were all components that seemingly only increased over time. Then, for the next 300 years, came the thousands of werewolf trials, which hardly anyone ever talks about. And not to brag, but it was often stated by the courts and by the common people that witches were the prime suspects, believed to either be casting spells that made men into werewolves, and that they were, let's choose a modern word, enabling or compelling the men to complete their beastly feastings. But my lovelies, let's give the devil his due, shall we? In the year 1521, Pope Leo X appointed a group of inquisitors, or interrogators, to preside over the wild trials of the werewolf lawsuits. And as a fine example, two shepherds, Michel Verdun and Pierre Bourgeau, were on trial, accused of being shape-shifting loup gurus, viciously feeding on the folks and animals in the French countryside. Both men told very similar stories of being alone with their flocks at night and encountering a strange and imposing man in black. One shepherd, nearly mad from hunger, and the other, fearing for the safety of his entire flock of sheep during a punishing storm, said that the mysterious dark man just suddenly appeared right when their spirits were broken and they had lost all hope. Both men claimed that this enigmatic character promised them an abundance of food and his solemn guarantee that not a single sheep would be lost in the storm. If each would denounce their faith, renounce their ties to the church, and swear a new alliance to demonic forces. The men agreed. Both told of how later they met with this man, whom both understood to be Satan himself. The two turned men, confessed that they had joined the devil and met with a coven of witches where they took part in a bizarre ritual. During the diabolic ceremony, each man was slathered in a strange ointment that placed them under an enchantment, a curse that caused them to grow the coat of fur and the head of a wolf. and they became ravenous and hungered for human flesh, which they did eat. The end. Not quite. Both Verdun and Bourgeau were burned at the stake, of course. Speaking of burning stakes, if you like your meat well done and mysterious in origin, meet us later on tonight at the Broom and Fang Pub. Cast off the gloom of your workday and come get some bloody good grub. Join us for the Wolfman's birthday in the heart of the Broom and Fang Pub. We're here to celebrate, darling. Come greet him and shake his paw. His grin makes it look like he's snarling, but that's just his je ne sais quoi. Dance with the man who is lupine. He'll be furry and truly a thriller. Take a swig of his homemade moonshine and find out if he's a real lady killer. Meet a witch with a single sweet tooth and tickle her till she moans. Beware of her guardian's meat tooth, or your neck will be robbed of its bones. Wake up in a field near the village, with blood splashed on every acre. You've just learned the meaning of pillaged. Now quick, call the undertaker. If you're here, you're invited to the Broom and Fang Pub. In addition to hokey pokey karaoke, there will be music, mystery, cake, steak, prowling, howling, dancing, and danger. And by pure coincidence, it also happens to be open mic night. If you happen to know Mike personally, well, we're sorry, but too bad. Don't you dare be tardy. Join us for Darling's birthday party later this evening at the Broom and Fang Pub. Now, I promised you werewolves of a real nature. Now, didn't I? How about werewolves so fierce they became involved in a war? Sort of. When pre-America received a bountiful influx of lovely French immigrants round about 1700, as a result of the territory being claimed by the French in 1682, and subsequently naming it Louisiana after their king, King Louis XIV, this is what caused the territory to have its rich and prolific Cajun culture. The term Cajun is a truncated version of the word Acadian. Acadians were French settlers from Canada who were kicked out of Canada by the British for refusing to swear allegiance to their king, which was brilliant on the French people's part, I believe. In any case, these French settlers brought with them to the Louisiana Territory the lore of the famous and fierce Loup Garou, which through the mixing of languages then became the Roux Garou. The majority of these settlers also happened to be of the Catholic faith, which, believe it or not, if they failed to attend Mass or violated the Orthodox rules of Lent involving attending church or not attending church, paying tithes, and abstaining from eating meat, this disobedience made them far more likely to be eaten by the Roux Garou. The man-eating creature, somehow, was a deep and respectful patron of the Catholic faith, but somehow still born out of witchcraft and dark forces. The Rougarou, an evil beast, apparently wanted people to be true to their faith and judged and punished them when they weren't. He could also rip you to bits for no other profound reason, just because he caught you and felt like it. I never said any of this made sound sense. The Warring Rougarous. This is fascinating. During the War of 1812, which went on for nearly 3 years, when the British attacked the Southern Territories, there were thousands of casualties that were all made record of and accounted for. There were also almost 500 British soldiers who went missing in the swamps and bayous of Louisiana and New Orleans, never to be seen again. No remains were ever found. So pronounced and prominent was the belief that these territories were rampant with the Rougarou, the man-eating monsters, that Jean Lafitte, a savage pirate who joined forces with President Andrew Jackson to fight the British, flat out refused to send his regiment of men into the quagmired areas at night. Everyone believed that the Rougarou would and had eaten the hundreds of missing men. And it definitely seemed as though the Rougarou had predominantly consumed the invading British forces, contributing to the winning of the war. The animalistic creatures were either cursed or empowered in such a ferocious way that bullets and bayonets were useless against them. So, theoretically, how does one start and or stop becoming a mighty Rougarou? Well, as you may have guessed, there are several strange theories. I suppose we might consider first, if the ability to shapeshift from a human man into a full-blown wolf, or a man with the best wolf qualities, is a curse at all? Or is it a blessing?
A blessing, madam. Definitely a blessing.
Oh, well, there we have an unsolicited and totally random opinion. thank you, Mr. Darling. The act of becoming a Rougarou, as stated before, was often assumed to be, and confessed to be, achieved through the voluntary action of making some dark and dire pact with underworld beings. But accounts we have in obscure books here also state that one might actually be cursed into becoming a werewolf by angering, crossing, aggravating, or insulting a witch. Which is not always the case, is it, Mr. Darling?
No, indeed, madam.
Concerning the witch-given curse, though, it is a fact, my lovelies, that there are documented cases where a person was arrested, dragged into court, and charged with inflicting gruesome bloody murder or murders, then being acquitted, found innocent, and set free on the grounds that they couldn't be blamed for tearing their victims apart, as they were under the spell of being a Rougarou, put upon them by a local witch. In regards to the curse of the Rougarou, it was believed that this dreadful hex that caused you to maniacally rip apart and ingest your own kind, and possibly your loved ones, only lasted 101 days, making it a curse with an expiration date. Conflicting records, however, decree that the Rougarou must either find a willing person who would sacrifice his own well-being and take on the curse, or the cursed beast could just bite someone at will, passing the curse on to them like a nasty virus. An alternative method of turning another human into the creature was for the mystical monster to simply stare into his chosen victim's eyes, hypnotizing them. How fun. And since the Rougarou was a supernatural monster, it could not be killed by typical lethal force. The use of bullets, silver or lead, nor stakes driven through its beating heart or bayonets thrust into its soft underbelly, none of these would end the life of the creature. It was said in times gone by that the only way to kill a Rougarou was by using the element of fire, or by chopping off its massive lupine head. And I think we all know that because the fearsome beast was endowed with a more than powerful sense of smell and a keen ability to hear, that the odds of you creeping up on the Rougarou in order to try to employ either of these methods, well, let's just say I do not believe the odds would be in your favor. I will begrudgingly tell you that if you were to find the Rougarou in his human form, all of the magical protection from death I've just told you about goes right out the window, and the monster then in his human skin could be done away with in any typical homicidal fashion. But I caution you that this is not typical of all shape-shifting lupine creatures, so don't get any fancy and foolish ideas.
Well stated, madam.
Thank you, Mr. Darling. In fact, I think that you should admit, and I encourage you to at least recognize, my lovelies, that these fanciful and terrifying stories of dog-headed saints and men becoming wolves has been with humanity since the dawn of time. With nearly every culture on the face of the earth having some version, generally of men transforming into wolves. Perhaps in a future reading, I shall expound upon the myriad of global wolfen beasts. But to prove my point, it thrills me to tell you that one story, the oldest story known to exist in the history of the world, contains a lycanthrope character. Briefly, preceding the Bible by nearly 1,000 years, the Epic of Gilgamesh contains the story of how the main character, Gilgamesh, rejects the affections of the goddess of love, war, and sex, Ishtar. Gilgamesh declines the deity's desires because he knows that she did, in fact, curse one of her previous lovers by turning him into a wolf, who was then ripped to pieces by his own group of flock-guarding hounds, which was a fate Gilgamesh was apparently hoping to avoid. It also pleases me beyond measure to tell you that the Rougarou in modern times is alive and well in the swamplands of Louisiana. And he has a job and a festival in his honor. Name, the Rougarou. Genus, Versipellis lupin. Occupation, wetlands conservation mascot. Each year and on a daily basis in the bayous of southeast Louisiana, the Rougarou is the furry face of and the beloved champion of informing the public on the importance of the crucial preservation of the state's precious and endangered wetlands. No longer feared for being ferocious, the wolfen beast is now the friendly informant that makes personal appearances at rallies and benefits for the wetlands. And his fanged face is proudly worn on t-shirts, hats, and buttons by adults and children alike. And he's even plastered on billboards, websites, and flyers when promoting his very own Rougarou Fest, a family-friendly festival with a spooky atmosphere that's held each and every year. The monster event happens every October, goes on for 3 days, and is attended by thousands of lupine lovers. The festival has wild parades, Cajun food, art vendors, costume contests, live music, carnival rides, a haunted house, a fun run, and even a howling contest. If you attend, there you will see countless incarnations of the wetland werewolf, some with grinning fangs and covered in swamp vines. The Rougarou Fest is ranked as one of America's top 10 costume parties in the nation, and all proceeds go to the South Louisiana Wetlands Discovery Center, a nonprofit organization that is revolutionizing how the disappearing wetlands are understood and preserved. I mean, if you can't learn the profound worth of the strange lands on the fringe of where you live, what good are you? You may as well be tossed to a bunch of voraciously hungry wolves of varying cultural natures and assorted degrees of violent tendencies and appetites. That's what I always say, don't you, Mr. Darling?
For certain, madam.
But I'm sure, relatively sure, that none or hardly any of this applies to you, my dear guests. Now, please follow our beloved birthday boy, Mr. Darling, as he leads you safely out of the library and turns you loose into Phantom Forest. Good luck, and good night. Darling, who was that odd man I saw you bringing drinks to at the Broom and Fang earlier? I couldn't tell if he was royalty or some manner of wild man.
That was my father, madam. A very successful rag and bone man.
Your what? And you didn't introduce me to him?
He's rather leery of witches, I'm afraid. You see, long ago, he was a lawyer, until a red-haired witch turned him into a ragged bone man. A bit more bone than rag, if you know what I mean.
I'm sure I do not, Mr. Darling. Good night.
Madam, doesn't your aunt have red hair?
I said good night.
This message is for you, my dear guest. It's important to me that you know that you are welcome and valued here. Why? Because I know that you are a real person. And I'd like you to know that in spite of what you may hear in the village, that I am a real person too. I am not an AI-generated thing, pieced together by robbing the work of others and presented by a soulless algorithm, meant to spew a random flood of content at you that only masquerades as quality entertainment. I choose the subjects I think you'll like. I diligently research the topics, using only reputable books and sites. I alone write every single word you hear. I choose each piece of music and every eerie fun sound. I am the Midnight Library. I am the Reading Room. I am every character. I am the Broom and Fang Pub, the fog that floats in the graveyard, and every Lady Gravedigger. And I am honored that you enjoy what I create. So I will ask you to support the Midnight Library, as many of my beloved friends do. Please visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary, and I'll meet you there. Thank you.